evening, everyone. Welcome. We're the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission, and this is a regular meeting, January 20th, 2022, at 6 p.m. This meeting is being held via teleconference. There are five members on the committee, and to establish a quorum, three of us must be present. And I see that there are three members here, so we do have a quorum. Welcome, everybody. I'm calling this meeting in order. Now, please join me in a moment of silence.
Hey, Bob, we're live. We're on. It is on the internet. It's the web.
You're not muted there, Mr. Sedaris. Well, next we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Melissa, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
Thank you.
If you will place your hand, right hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I see the next item is our announcements. And I would like to start by giving kudos and thanks to the Winter Bird Festival organizers. Because of the COVID disruptions, the Audubon Society had to cancel the events, and it went online. But everybody pulled together, and it was a good online show there for the Winter Bird Festival. And I was just there yesterday, and all the events are still there for us to click on and enjoy the videos and the discussions. It was very nice, considering what the scrambling that had to be done right at the end of the day there, just before the festival was to begin. And the next thing I'd like to just point out is two of our committee members, Bob and Mike, are going to be leaving, and this is their last evening with us. And I know Mike is here, and I just wanted to say thank you, Mike, and give you the floor if you have any words to say.
Well, thanks, Kevin. No, I've been very appreciative to have the opportunity for the past 4 years. I'm not going to say goodbye, because I'm hoping down the road in a year or two that I can be welcomed back aboard as part of the commission. But unfortunately, as you guys know, and I know Kirk and his staff are experiencing this, is that due to COVID and the shortages in staff, my place of employment, just trying to keep it afloat, it's been burning the candle at both ends. And so I unfortunately won't have the time to devote as much as I would to this commission, and need to keep with this. But once we get out of this difficult times right here, I hope to join you guys back. And Kirk and your team, you know, it's been a pleasure, and I know you guys have been working hard under the same set of circumstances. I feel for you, brother, and I completely understand everything, but you guys are doing a hell of a job in trying to keep afloat yourselves, so keep it up.
Thank you, Commissioner Spino. Appreciate those kind words, and we certainly have appreciated your contributions to our commission, certainly your expertise in the aquatics field. I know if I've got burning questions or issues, you're there to help me out, as you have already in regards to a couple of specific issues. But anyways, I know it has been, it's been a rough ride for you know, cities in general, and then other agencies and counties in the the state, but certainly for aquatics, it's quite the challenge. So my best to you, sir. We'll keep in touch, and we'll look forward to you joining again in the future.
Great. Thank you.
Bet. Thanks.
Are there any other announcements that my fellow commissioners would like to make?
No. When I spoke to Bob, he's trying to get on. He's
good.
Yeah.
Kirk, are there any announcements from the Recreation Services?
Well, just really quickly, you know, as soon as Commissioner Swain is able to join us, I'd like to be able to give him that opportunity as well, Mr. Chairman, to say a few words, and then, of course, I'd like to thank him for his many, many years of service. So if we can make sure we work him into the program, that would be appreciated. Otherwise, I don't have announcements to make at this time. Well, let me back up. I do want to say that thank you for mentioning the Bird Festival, because it's a huge event here for the city, you know, bringing in folks from all over, you know, outside of the city, even all over the state, county, but certainly outside of the state, too. And it was real unfortunate because they use our facilities here that are permanent through my office, and we went through all kinds of work, you know, over this last 6 months, you know, getting things all squared away, and then they unfortunately had to pull the plug right at the very last minute. So they avoided a super spreader bird flu, is what I was calling this one. So hats off to them for doing the right thing, and they're not the only events and groups that had to cancel out, you know, in the recent months. But we certainly look forward to coming back next year, as well as you know, opening our doors to other events that had to cancel out. So thanks for bringing that up, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. Otherwise, I don't have any other announcements. I would turn to our staff person that's on board here, Recreation Supervisor Angelica Gallardo, and if she has something that you'd like to discuss at the time, it's all yours, Angelica.
All right. Good evening, commissioners. I am going to do a quick update on all of our departments right now, but I'm also going to be sharing some flyers too, so bear with me. I'm doing it all today. So I'm going to speak on behalf of sports. They just wanted to give a little update. They wrapped up soccer season on November 13th, and they did want to let everybody know that they had two of their Morro Bay teams win the end of the season tournament, as well as two all-star teams that just finished their season this past Saturday. So it was a great season. Again, families just happy to have kids out there and playing and get to see everything. Moving on to basketball, we are in, this is Kirk's joke, full court. But in our basketball season, we're on week 3 of games. We have moved our whole program outdoors. So all games, all practices have always been outdoors, but all games are outdoors as well this year. They play at Baywood Elementary, Delmar Elementary, as well as the Delmar Park, the basketball court out at there. And they just wanted to report that they've had a ton of positive feedback from families, from the kids, and even a great group of referees that are out there, and we are battling with, you know, the ever looming COVID and losing kids to being out sick and having like smaller teams, but they're really making it work, and they're still being able, and their best feedback was that parents are just happy to have their kids out there, whether they're playing 4-on-4, 3-on-3, they don't care, they're just happy. And I will report, I was out there last weekend just watching my family actually all ref for the basketball season, and it was really great to just watch the kids, and I think for me the best part was watching those parents out there, happy to be cheering on their kids, so that was great. And then they also have softball coming up. I'm just sharing that flyer for you guys. And softball registration ends next Friday on the 28th, and we hope to be able to bring back a good amount of teams in here in Morro Bay, just kind of, you know, get our own division strong this year. So our sports team is working on that as we speak. Okay, and moving on. Any questions on sports? Okay, moving on to our aquatics. Okay, there we go. This is our winter hours, our winter schedule. It really has stayed the same. Lap swim is the same, aquatics, aqua aerobics is the same, and then they have added a master's program on Friday afternoons. It was asked by our participants, and they were able to make that work. We also have a couple new things we're bringing. Starting next month, you will be our swim lessons. Will be a monthly charge. So you'll sign up for a month of swim lessons and come. They're hoping that kind of regulates the non-consistency of some people who aren't attending every day, but also just to get through their wait list. That's going to be helpful. And then we also are working on an upcoming junior guard prep pool program that we plan to offer in the springtime, during spring break. Those are a few things from aquatics. And, oh, and then next week they are teaching a career technical education program. I believe this one is through the high school. Kirk can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm correct. Okay. Those are those notes. And now I'm moving on to community classes. We are still offering the same classes, our Zumba, freestyle. Really not much has changed. We always see a little increase in January with, you know, everyone starting the new year off healthy. But we haven't seen that increase this month. And that is, of course, due to COVID. And our classes are inside right now. And you have to wear a mask. And, you know, and people are still weary, especially with the spread right now. So we hope that it all goes away and everyone gets back to you know, working on their fitness and joining our classes. Okay, and now I'm going to move on to youth services. We had a fun holiday hangouts over winter break. I think we had about an average of 30 kids a day. We are just happy to be able to provide that program again, especially when we did have staff out with illness and kids out, but we still were able to provide the program and help these families who they still have to work during Christmas and winter break. We also brought our very first ever all sports camp. It was a combination between our sports department and our youth services, where the sports department presented the sports aspect of, you know, all the sports that we provide here for the youth. So our basketballs, flag football, soccer, and softball/baseball. It was so well taken. The program did amazing. Kids Club staff did awesome. The sports department did awesome. And our kids were so happy. And we actually are planning to do another version come springtime. So we'll provide another sports camp. And we're back at Kids Club from winter break, January 10th. And we are happy to announce we've already added, just in the last week, we've added 5 new families. The great thing is that a few of them joined our sports camp, loved it, saw the interaction that our Kids Club staff have with the kids, and they signed up to join our program. So that's been really awesome. And then, last but not least, Youth Services is providing a kids' night out in February for Valentine's Day. Last time we did this was in 2020. And then we had to shut this program down, but we are excited to bring it back. Basically, parents pay $20 for 3 hours of care. Your kids get to have some dinner, play some games, do some crafts, and you get to go out and enjoy yourself, or, you know, stay home, do whatever you want to do. But it's a really fun activity. We're excited to bring this back. Okay, that is it for me, unless anyone has any questions.
No questions here, but sure, a full menu of items. Nice job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All righty. So I see Bob did squeak in here, didn't he? Dr. Bob? Are you available to speak with us a little bit? We know this is your last evening with us, and we want to give you an opportunity to say a few things.
I see that he's joined us, but he's muted right now.
Oh.
Dr. Bob, are you there? There. He's unmuted.
Hello, Bob?
Hyland, is there something that we might need to do to get him moving along the line here?
He's unmuted. I'm not sure what the issue is.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, we can come back when he is ready.
Okay.
Our next item is presentations. I don't know whether we have a Morro Bay Senior Citizens report.
We do, kind of. I spoke with the president of the Senior Citizens group and asked them kind of what the issues were for their group and what, you know, I could report back. And he said the main thing now is just they used to have more of a vibrant, slow pitch softball, I don't know, calendar, I guess, and the person or persons who used to organize game times and things like that, maybe from what it sounds like, isn't there anymore or doesn't do it, and the overarching concern was that they want to get back to playing slow pitch ASAP.
Okay.
And if I could jump in there, Mr. Chairman.
Please do.
Yeah, thank you. So there's a couple more things that I want to bring to the attention that our programs offered or activities or programs offered through the Senior Center. But first, to speak to what Commissioner Davis had just mentioned, they are experiencing a huge drop in volunteerism, unable to keep the doors open. And without the doors open, then they're not able to, of course, continue on with you know, the games that they play, the card games and whatnot. What we're trying to do is assess the volunteer help and then put them in place to where the center needs the most help. We have a number of Cuesta College Emeritus classes that are ongoing, and folks register for those. The Cuesta College instructors come in and teach here in the center, so we're focusing around those times as well as making sure that the center is open for senior nutrition at lunchtime and then anything else that we can do to keep the doors open. But again, it's the lack of volunteers that is causing some difficulties there. So if you know of anybody willing to put a couple hours in to help keep the doors open, it's a pretty simple, straightforward work, welcoming into the center, kind of a check and see, you know, what's going on, and really just providing a smile and a body to help open the doors. We'd appreciate your help. So put the word out there. We'd love to have somebody else come and help us out. Also, Morro Bay Senior Citizens Incorporated did receive grant funding from the city, and they put in their grant to do some upgrades to the seniors lobby, as well as to the community center lobby, where we're looking to put an interactive TV monitor on the wall, and that is going to allow us to program and show on the screen upcoming activity events. So not only will it be used specifically for the senior center, but for other recreation activities or whatever we really want to advertise. So we've been making moves in the building to prepare the wall to accept the TV monitor, and they're in the process of finding that monitor and the programming system that goes with it, so we can get that program up and going. And We're looking at sometime in February or March do some kind of a ribbon cutting or whatever once we get this system in place. So they're very excited. I think they received about $3,500 from the city, which they're able to match from their coffers. Additionally, bingo, which is played, the first Friday of every month, they have canceled due to the pandemic and have pushed out until April Fool's Day. And there's no joke intended, but that's the first Friday of the month. And they are looking to move bingo from the Vets Hall over here to the community center for a couple of reasons. One, this is a nicer facility. Two, it lessens up other impacts to the Vets Hall, to where city can conduct meetings in person again, and we can rent that building out. But then also they're looking to do some improvements to expand the size of bingo. So this building's bigger. So they're bursting at the seams with like full capacity every month. So if we can expand, they'll generate some more income, which in turn then will allow the senior center to spend some more money on other things that they would like to do, or help to offset costs for some of the programs for those who can't afford it. So we're working with the senior center to or the senior group to install some security cages and things like that for all of their equipment when we make that move over here. And again, we're shooting for April 1st with our fingers crossed. So that's a little bit more information on what's going on with the senior center, along with, yes, we want to get out there and get softball up and rolling. I know there's a group out there right now just kind of informally playing. And I don't remember which day it is, but it's a morning. I want like a Tuesday morning or something at Lila Kaiser Park. But again, I think as we get a little more settled here in this office and our sports supervisor finds a little bit more time, he's ready to resurrect our adult softball program, hopefully sometime in late spring. So thank you. And pardon me, Commissioner Davis, for jumping in on your action there, but I had a little bit more to share. So thank you.
Welcome. I will report back that they can just keep practicing whatever day that they're down there. And
all right, cool.
We'll let them know when they can get back on the field.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
I have a comment on that, if you can hear me.
Hey, there it is.
Hey, who's that?
I finally figured out where all the switches are on this thing. Yeah, we play Tuesday mornings, and usually we have about 20, 22 people out there. And then we play on Thursdays, and we don't get quite as many that day, but it's getting better. So, yeah, we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays out at the Diamond.
Commissioner Swain, what time do you get out there to play?
We get there about 9, between 9 and 9:30, and then we play until about noon. So what we do is we have a batting practice first. Everybody gets to bat around about, get 10 good hits. And then we have one person chooses up the teams, and then we usually play 2 to 3 innings.
And then you form teams then informally right there? You just put them together?
Yeah, we just, who's ever there, we have one guy that kind of knows everybody, and he decides who's on what team, tries to make it as even as possible. And then, we play till about noon or so. We try to get 3 innings in. If we get done at batting practice quick enough, we'll do 4 innings.
Is there an age restriction?
You have to be able to walk and swing a bat.
Can a high school kid go out and play, or that's class?
Actually, in the summertime, we get some college kids whose dad is out there. They'll bring their kid or something like that. But we don't push that. We try to do 50 or over.
50 plus. Mm-hmm. All right.
We do have
Welcome, sir.
Pardon?
I said thank you very much and welcome to the meeting, sir.
Well, I'm glad I finally figured out how to make everything work.
So are we.
Yes, and Dr. Bob, I understand that this might be your last evening. Is that true?
It's still it's still for debate here. But then I talked to Kirk and I because right now, we babysit our granddaughter 3 days a week and da 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 and all this, and my daughter's moving, so pretty well tied up this whole month. So I'm still debating.
Well,
I think, Commissioner Swain, that the applications might need to be in before the city council meeting that takes place on Tuesday.
Okay.
Thank you, and thanks for your consideration. I tried to put the heat on you.
I know you did.
Well, we appreciate you being here, sir, and I know you've had quite a few years under your belt with this commission. How many years total, sir?
I don't know, 10 or 12, something like that. Not as many as Drew. Drew's a senior resident on this thing.
Yeah, he's shooting for the trophy.
I want a bench with my name on it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, just kidding.
Yeah, no, so I think what I'd like to propose, and I think you already mentioned it, I come back and then keep the seat open, but I'll be there. But if anybody wants to join, they can join, and then I'll drop out.
Okay, that's great. You still need to put an application in, and I believe there's only one applicant in for two positions at this time. So if you throw your name in the hat, they're going to pick you.
Okay.
All right. But they asked the paperwork.
Yeah, I can still speak clearly, so I can be a president too.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
Well, buy a fresh Robert's Rule book of how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Bob, we certainly appreciate your tenure here on this commission and your input and wisdom, and you've just been a real pleasure to work with. So we do hope to see you again, but if not. Recreation Services Division. Thank you, sir, for your service.
Thank you very much, and I really enjoyed working, you know, doing my part for the city and the community, and like I say, I think recreation is the ultimate goal to keep a community happy.
Oh, yeah.
So, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Moving on our agenda here, next is our public comment period. Pursuant to Executive Order N0821, issued by Governor Newsom on June the 11th, 2021, this meeting is being conducted telephonically through Zoom, broadcast live on Cable Channel 20, and streamed on the city website. Please be advised that pursuant to the Executive Order and to limit the spread of COVID-19 and to ensure the health and safety of the public by restricting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, we are not meeting in person. The Veterans Hall is not open for this meeting. In fact, there is no physical location for public viewing. Remote public participation includes correspondence via email prior to this meeting or logging into this Zoom meeting as it is happening right now. Do we have anybody for public comment this evening?
Thank you, Chair. We have no commenters.
No commenters. Okay.
Could I bring up one more comment?
Good.
Could I bring up a comment real fast about the baseball? It's co-ed.
Very good.
Good. So the next item on our agenda is the consent calendar. We have three items on the consent calendar. Approval of the minutes is A1. Approval of the minutes from the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting, November 18th, 2021. A2, Recreation Service Division Status Report, and A3, Recreation Services Division Participation Reports, November 2021 to December 2021. Facilities, Parks, and Open Space Hourly Use, Recreation Classes and Affiliated Clubs, Aquatic Programs, Sports, Seniors, and Youth Services. We have a motion to approve the minutes as submitted and accept the status these reports as is.
Sure, I'll make a motion that we accept and approve the minutes. A1, A3.
And I'll second.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition, A1, A2, and A3 are received and filed. Thank you. The next order of business is public hearings. Seeing none, we'll move to our four business items. C1, the program evaluation, Estero Bay Youth Soccer 2021.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to jump in on that. And this was our original agenda and was inadvertently posted before it was corrected. I needed to pull the Estero Bay Youth Soccer 2021 staff report as there were some issues with it. So we will bring that before this commission in March. Otherwise, everything bumped up one. So what was C2, 3, and 4 will now be C1, 2, and 3, beginning with Prop 68 per capita staff report as the new C1. I apologize for any confusion.
Very good. Well said. So we're moving on to the staff report, Prop 68 per capita. Mr. Carmichael?
That's back to me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And let me grab my notes. So this item has been a verbal report. Excuse me. It's been a verbal report over the last, year plus, since we began our process in this funding opportunity from the state. Proposition 68, as I had explained way back when, has a number of different grant opportunities within that proposition coming from State Parks Department. Let's see, a year ago, I guess it was just a year ago. Gosh, it's all a blur anymore. The application was submitted. We were told we were too early in submitting, even though we were within the deadline, so it came back to us, and I was working with the Public Works Office back then to package something else up again and resubmit. Since then, a new Public Works Director has come on board. He has taken the reins as of these grants and the design and development of that area, as he has the staff that's more that is in line to do this type of work. He has an assistant engineer with some drafting capabilities and a greater staff to work on these grants. I'm acting as a representative from the Recreation Services Division and offer up my suggestions and assistance where needed. So they have moved forward and submitted, first of all, the per capita grant, and that was submitted earlier this month, and we will receive the funding, which is $177,000. That was intended to assist in the removal and replacement of the Coleman restroom. That is still on the books. If you drive down there, you'll see that restroom has been gone for quite some time, and we're excited about moving forward with the next step. And that would be another grant opportunity still within the State Parks Department under the Prop 68 funding, and this is the Rural Recreation and Tourism Program. There are tens of millions of dollars available. And we are submitting for approximately $400,000 up to a $1 million amount, where a portion of that needs to be matched by the city. And backing up, just to make so it makes sense, the per capita grant opportunity was non-competitive, where you just had to submit an application, and the state was going to award those who did submit applications for funding. This now, the RRT is competitive, meaning that there's many hoops we need to jump through in order to be competitive to secure the funding. Some of that is holding public hearings or community meetings, discussing those on with committees such as this commission or the Public Works Advisory Board. So those efforts have been moving forward. We've held two committee meetings, and correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner Davis, were you out at one of those? I can't recall.
Yeah, our field trip.
Out at Coleman Park, where we were able to look at the design and offer up our suggestions?
Yeah, yes. I was there.
Okay, yeah, so we held two of those. And from that input from the community came the following plans. So what I'm going to do is go through a PowerPoint presentation, which is in your agenda packet, that briefly discusses what went on here with this grant opportunity. So again, this is the Rural Recreation and Tourism grant application for Pullman Park, and I think Angelica is going to try to make that thing fit on the screen a little bit better while I get a drink. And there it is. Thank you, Angelica. Way to go. Okay, so again, this is improvements and input on the conceptual plan and the associated amenities. Next slide, if you'd be so kind. So the overview of Coleman Park, it draws plenty of visitors and tourists, community members, of course, because of the main attraction out here, our Morro Rock, but then our Harbor Walk is extending from mid-Embarcadero at this time all the way out to the entrance to the beach. It is a multi-use path, one walking and one for bikes and skateboards and scooters and whatnot. There's also the launching point for the water-based activities, which is highly used. I mentioned the demolished restroom, and then there's the basketball court out there with a large footprint and unattractive fence around it. It's basically underutilized, but the whole area is really underimproved and underutilized. So we have city staff has identified Coleman Park as a priority area for improvements. The grant opportunities again were reviewed, offered up my research to the Public Works Office, and then they took another once over at it, and again were being awarded the $177,000 per capita. There was again, like I had mentioned, a number of different grant opportunities within this Prop 68 funding. One again was a regional parks program. Cities don't have regional parks. That's more for the counties, larger districts. For example, El Choro Regional Park, they're receiving quite a bit of funding, for improvements to that property. You may note that they had reduced the golf course down from 18 holes down to 9 for the public. 3 of the holes were purchased by Cal Poly to use as practice holes. You may notice out there also that there's a Top Tracer golf target practice. So it's really pretty cool, and they've got a great master plan, but that's an example of a regional park. And it's also an example of a staff that has the capability to move forward with grants of this size. They've got a few people on board that specifically look at grants and design park projects. So moving on to the Rural Recreation and Tourism Program, that's the other that we are applying for, and that application is to be submitted this month. And again, we took a look at community input, which you'll see in the upcoming slides. And then there is another opportunity out there, Clean California Program, that is through Caltrans, and that is under consideration at this time as well. The community input, you see the pictures out there. We had some tables set up, and we had about 30 attendees on the first day, and the second day, that was an evening, 15, which I thought there was more than that, but somebody else counted it. So we did promote and invite stakeholder groups in the community, as well as just general public. We did picked up some people as they were walking by because it was interesting. Pam Newman from the Public Works Office, she's the assistant engineer, had put together some panels to look at. You'll see those in the distant background, as well as some handouts. And the intent there was to take a look at a proposed plan and mark it up, offer us up some suggestions, what sounds good, what doesn't, etc. And then then we went and gathered up that information from there. So it was a fun activity and really got some great brainstorming out of it. As it says here, 21 resident emails were received. One of them, I think, was 16 pages long with examples, and it was a very thorough piece of work. I still am trying to get through everything that was written. This did go to City Council last meeting on January 11th for approval to move forward with the grant application. It also was seen by the Public Works Advisory Board Wednesday of last week, or was that yesterday? It just went to the Public Works Advisory Board. So they're doing a similar exercise that we will be doing momentarily. So again, the input was received, and the engagement process, all that information was captured and put down into the conceptual plan. Fantastic ideas, like I said, exercise stations with associated amenities, and Dr. Bob, I know you wanted to agendize a discussion about the Jack LaLanne workout the concept that we've been talking about, so we can have a quick discussion. I wanted to kind of fold that into this presentation and leave that open for discussion, because I had a couple ideas, but I know you want to keep that ball rolling, so I just wanted to put that out there right now. The other comments, of course, natural, not the traditional plastic type playgrounds that you normally see, but we're looking for something that's a little more natural. What I thought was really cool is the stage and concert space, and you'll see that on the plan. And there's just some thoughts of it could be a reservable location that would be managed by this office, which is what we do already for the city. We manage city real property and buildings and allow for use of the beaches and parking lots and whatnot. So, but that stage concert space I thought was a pretty cool idea. And I don't know if any of you have seen or been down to Humphreys down in San Diego, but they've got a concert venue down there right on the water, and many boat people kind of just pull in and park and kayaks gather, and those are those people who aren't paying, they're paying for a ticket, but you can still hear the music from there. So it's a similar idea here. We thought, people can roll up on a kayak if you did something. So anyways, just some good ideas were kicked around. Some natural native gardens that are going to showcase some of the more regional flora that you find here in the sand dunes, and remove most likely some of the things that aren't native to the area. Of course, we want some picnic tables. Historical monuments can be placed down there, which we do have the one from the Filipino group, which is recognizing the first landing in this area by the Filipino folks back in the 1500s. So that is down there at this time, but where exactly it's going to sit when we redo this park area, I'm not quite sure. I don't know if you call the Jack LaLanne a historical monument, but he is to this little town, so that might be something we could talk about as well. And then there's some thought about a cultural or educational interpretive signs and plaques, possibly some art or sculptures, but certainly improve ADA accessibility. And then, the barbecue stations and fire pits are always an attraction. So all that was taken into consideration before the plan was put together. The staff used the top five suggestions to come up with the playground areas, the plaza stage, landscape garden areas, exercise picnic stations, and art or historical spaces. So just an important note is that this is an example conceptual plan. It's not a final version. That's still work in progress. And the grant application may only include one or two minis or a small segment of the park area at this time, because it needs to work in phases. It's amazing how much things cost. And it's just staggering, actually, that the restroom was put at like $300,000 for a restroom, and then the surrounding hardscape to access it. So things are expensive. So this is the conceptual plan. You do have a copy in your packet, so you can take a look at everything if you haven't already. But you can see the size of the stage and the plaza area, There's some other parking that's, you know, parking spaces. They maintain the parking and ADA accessible parking on the right-hand side or the easternmost side of the park, where the restroom and concession stand would be relocated. Right now, that restroom would be located in the up at the top by the landscape garden area, towards the middle or the curve of the row right there where Barcadero and Coleman come together. So that was a relocation for a number of different reasons. What the idea was, any large buildings or whatnot, we don't want to have anything tall that would potentially block the view of the rock or the bay. So everything's going to kind of stay low. You'll see in there also an exercise fitness station towards the middle of the park, up along the roadway. You'll also see parking parallel along Coleman Drive. So a lot of great ideas were thrown into this. The parking way to the left-hand side of the project, that's about where the basketball court sits. Yeah. So that would be removed, and you'll see sports court or whatnot on the bottom right-hand side. My thought, well, I won't interject my thoughts. I want to let you guys go ahead and do and take this one through. So that was where the basketball court was, like I said. So a number of great things worked into this area, and it's actually extending the area further west. The park is extended. So that whole landscape garden area is really more of an extension to what exists at this time. So that's the image. So there's questions for you all, and what I'd like to do is go through, and it should have read questions for commission, my apologies, but what I'm looking to do is get your feedback on five questions that are up and coming. So I'll go through them real quick, and then what I'll do is turn it back over to our chairman to go one by one, commission by commissioner, to offer up your answers to questions 1 through 5. So what we're trying to do is get your input, develop a clear project and the cost estimates and grant application for this RRT grant opportunity. So the first question, does the RPC support, support creating an ADA accessible parking spaces and consolidating all parking for Coleman Park onto the smaller footprint asphalt areas? So to do this, the park design would need to include some accessible concrete walkways. Without consolidated parking, less space is available for recreation and cultural amenities. So we're trying to get an idea and a handle on how much parking do we want to have down there. The second question is, does the Recon Parks Commission, second question for us, please, Ms. Thank you. Does the RPC support construction of the stage and the plaza for small events and concerts? This amenity, again, we use for community groups and events, and also to bring in future revenue as the Division of Recreation Services manages these types of reservable sites. Moving on to number 3, are there any recreational or cultural amenities in the conceptual plan, which your commission does not support? Number 4, are there any those recreational or cultural amenities not already included that you would like to see included? So we're looking for new ideas, because again, we took the top 5 that were that really came up repeatedly by the community. And so number 5, is there any areas of the existing park that the commission would like to see preserved in their current condition rather than improved? And that could be the lovely basketball court, some of the landscape and trees that are down there at this time. Do we want to leave a dirt parking lot down there to where the folks launch their kayaks, etc.? So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and for you to go ahead and run down the list there of our commissioners and yourself to offer up the answers to questions 1 through 5, and I'm going to do my best to write everything down.
Okay, good luck with that.
Thanks for bearing with me.
Very nice presentation, sir.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
It is.
Cool. Very nice.
I think it's a pretty cool design for the first shot at it.
And I agree with you. What I propose to do is to just kind of go down our list one by one, maybe starting with Ms. Davis, and seeing what you think about the five questions.
Okay, so first question, yes, absolutely support. That's kind of a no-brainer, really. I think that it's important to have ADA parking spaces and concrete access for people in wheelchairs, people with walkers, people with canes, people that need help walking. I mean, that's, so for me, that's a support for sure, kind of no-brainer. Second question, whether or not supporting a stage for a small events and concerts. Yeah, absolutely, I would support that. One main concern that I would have, though, is just the impact to the natural environment when there are events. I would like to see designated, maybe like staff or the people using this place have to, you know, sign something that they're going to clean everything up, because being so close to the bay right there, especially where all the otters live, I mean, that could be a recipe for disaster. But I would love to see a stage down there. I think it's a great idea. I would just be concerned with the impact, and hopefully that would be mitigated by the time that there would be events. Question three. You know, I grew up playing down there at that playground, and there's nothing there anymore that still needs to be there. So as far as like what the plan looks like, I think that everything looks good. There's nothing necessarily I wouldn't support. I think that when considering cultural aspects or art or things like that to put down there, you know, the Filipinos landed here, the Spanish landed here, the British, you know, everyone landed here. But also something to keep in mind was there was actually already people living here. So I would like to see maybe cultural amenities being portrayed in a way that is supportive of A, the people that already lived here before the explorers from wherever came. So that would be just my comment about that. Question four. I guess that my answer to question three and four are pretty much the same. I think that it's just a really great environment down there to put like easy artwork and or sculptures or like rocks, you know, if you have any leftover, or if anyone's cleaning up the jetty out there and they need somewhere to throw some rocks, I mean, you know, that's pretty easy. So I don't have anything else. So question five, no, I don't think that anything at the park needs to be preserved in their current condition. At all. All of the things down there are minimum 30 plus years old. It would be great if there were swings still down there. I think the swing set's really nice, and it's always fun to be able to swing while you're looking at the bay. That would be my input on there, but other than that, nothing needs to stay, in my opinion. That's it.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Sedaris.
All right. Yeah, there's nothing down there that needs to stay. Even the sand down there is not very pleasant, unfortunately. So, yeah, I don't see anything that we need to save for any reason. Now, here's my main concern. If we put in a plaza place, you're going to have a way to get in there with vehicles, with equipment, to set up whatever they're doing and take it down. You're going to need parking for, say, two vans and two trucks or trailers, perhaps. So you're going to need a dedicated parking spot for the people using that. So I would flip the little parklet on the left as you're looking at it, toward the one to the left, and put the parking lot there. Matter of fact, I'd do the whole thing parking lot. I'd just take that, or at least the back two-thirds, and maybe leave the stuff right by the bike path there. but you're going to be really short of parking. That's one of the things we should look at really first is where can we get some good, safe parking? I don't like people crossing on a curve, although if there's a crosswalk and stuff, but it just seems if we could get parking over by where the entrance to the power plant is, then at least it's on a little bit of a straightaway. People can walk straight across there. But once you get more than 100 people in that park, that parking is going to be way inadequate, even parking along the side of the street. I'm only seeing six parking spaces plus six ADA at one lot and six ADA and two spaces at the other lot. And what, another 15 spaces, maybe 20 spaces for this whole project? So I think the parking is one of the linchpins to how to develop this park. But I definitely would put the parking closer to the plaza and then make room, a space to park the equipment trucks when you do have things that require equipment. You know, when they have contests, they have those trailers for the grandstand thing for the judges. So that's what I think about this other sports court down here. That is a place where you get 15, 20 cars setting out with their kayaks every weekend. So I would definitely consider making a better beach access there and making that a parking lot. Because I hate to say it, it's such a narrow piece of ground that I think parking is going to be your major headache, safe parking. But it's sure a nice plan. It really is. I like it. Where the restroom's been moved to, you know. And I like at the far west end towards the rock is the nice open space. Clean that up, have a nice picnic area over there. Yeah, that's really a beautiful spot. It's long overdue to make that up. So I'm glad we're getting at least get a start on it anyhow.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty much what I have to say.
Okay. Thank you very much. And next would be Mr. Espino.
So, let me just pull up the questions again. I'm sorry. I got them right. I got question number one. Question number one, definitely, yes. That's not much more feedback on that, but I agree with it for question number one. And for the stage plaza, yes, I think that is probably one of the most... one of the best ideas, fantastic ideas there. I mean, I would be going down there more and listening to that. And then just the thought of kayaks pulling up and having and if you could have a kayak landing area near there where they can pull up, that's awesome. So yes. Are there anywhere? I think the only thing that I probably would not support is the sports court. And I guess I'm not too clear if the landscape garden areas are going to be kind of like picnic areas or something like that, or if that could be like a dedicated picnic area or something like that. I'm not too sure about parking, but I just think the sports court down there would stick out like a sore thumb, but in the whole realm of what this is, trying to achieve, but I just worry about the politics involved with it. Yeah, I just want to make sure that there's a picnic space or, where people could just sit out on the grass and everything like that.
Thank you.
No, nothing else. I think just that whole area, I walk that way almost every weekend. And it'd be just nice to make it a whole neat, nice area. From scratch.
Okay, may I interject one thing very quickly?
Yes.
You know how we, over there by Giovanni's, we put the AstroTurf down because the grass was getting all worn out all the time?
Yeah.
I think we should consider some of these green spots to be AstroTurf, considering looking ahead towards the water, because the water's going to be, it's a tough issue for Parks and Rec. We have to conserve as much as we can. So maybe some of these green spaces could just be AstroTurf and picnic areas, not necessarily live grass. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, if I could jump in on that too, the diagram is not intended to show a grass area. It's
okay.
A landscape garden area, which is intention is to model it after the native landscape that you see on the other side of Coleman Drive. It have pockets of the brush and other native flora that you find in this region. So though it looks like it's supposed to be green grass, that's not what the intention of this diagram was.
Okay. You know, one point we had to shut off the showers, and when people travel a couple hours with their kids and spend the day at the beach, boy, they really need a shower, you know, because of the salt stuff. So
yeah. So again, the intent is drought tolerant native landscape.
Yeah. What about maybe a shower at that restroom for the kayakers? I don't know. If it doesn't cost much, maybe incorporate it in there.
Let me add that. Your comments, sir.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Drew.
Well, yeah, thank you for letting me interrupt.
Sure. Dr. Swain.
All right.
Yeah, I see. Can she flip back to one? I got them all written down here. But yeah, I'm all for making plenty of parking down there. That seems to be the biggest problem in that area, congestion of parking. And I agree that at the end going closest to the rock, maybe we could add more parking there and less native landscape. And let's see, question number two. I have my, I know everybody else is in favor of that stage, but I have some concerns about maybe what citizens might say versus the noise and the otters that stay there a lot. I mean, you know, we gotta compare to all that. Is it gonna be limited certain time, like during the day, nothing in the evenings when the otters all come in at night or whatever, you know? So I could see where that might be a complaint of some of the residents, because they already complained about the noise and what's going on with the otter nursery over there. So that's one thing. And also, you mentioned San Diego, but San Diego is a lot warmer than it is up here. And so, you know, I lived in Huntington Beach, was great because it was warmer there too. And so a lot more beach activities took place versus where it's a little cooler and it gets windy right in there. So I don't know how much we'd really get used to that, which might be something we need to really look at a lot closer, just, you know, and if that could be some good parking area. And also then, let's see, question number three. I was wondering if, you know, a lot of people don't really understand how Morro Bay really became an embarcadero and all that stuff. Since we're doing all that and have these little signs, could we throw out a little quick sign on how that was a military base and they're the ones that built this? Otherwise, Morro Bay wouldn't have the embarcadero or the causeway going out to the rock. You know, that's just something to maybe make it interesting for those that want to know a little history about Morro Bay, because a lot of people just don't have a clue what it is. So that's what I would suggest on that. And then, that's almost the same thing, huh? Going back to, yeah, that sports park, I'm not a fan of that per se, because I don't know, it doesn't say the size of it. How big would that be? Do you have any idea, Kurt?
I don't know the dimensions here, but in looking at a parking lot that would accommodate, like, the next parking lot up, I don't know, what are parking spaces, like 12 feet in length or something like that? So
probably, I think they got to be 10 by 10 foot wide, because you got to have the doors open, and most cars are 7, so 10.
Yeah.
And at least 12 feet long. At least,
yeah,
no, it has to be longer than that. Most cars are like 15 feet.
Yeah, so maybe 40 to 50 feet in length there. My assumption would be, and where's Skip when we need him? The size of a pickleball court.
I thought that would do when you mentioned the space over there, but that we don't need another one of those.
I could call him.
No, I don't think they'd only get maybe one or two, and I don't think that would be enough of a draw to get anybody over there. I also thought, you know, when you first mentioned that, we could do our not shuffleboard, whatever that other
bocce ball
there instead of over there where we can't get it going.
There we go.
That could be an option, or lawn bowling like they have down in Laguna, all those long bowling courts out there.
Or sorry, just to jump in on that thread, maybe a beach volleyball court.
Yeah, and my recommendation to Public Works office when they were putting this out was if you're going to have any kind of a sport court that uses a ball, you're going to have to fence it. Otherwise, balls are going across Embarcadero.
Yeah.
Or they're going down into the bay. And I think the intent was like, let's not have a chain link fence again because it's not very attractive.
Yeah.
So I asked them actually to remove the sport court, but it stayed in the plan. And I was trying to hold off and not say anything until you guys were all done, but sorry, Mr. Chairman, I rained on your parade.
Okay.
We're not done. I'd like to say a few things too on these.
Well, I haven't finished my report yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm still down to number five.
I thought you were finished with five. Sorry about that.
No, I haven't even got to that yet.
There you go.
I would like to see some of those trees saved. I think trees are healthy. I mean, they eat carbon dioxide and put out oxygen, and they're good for shade. You know, if you want a picnic, you don't want to sit in the sun and die of heat. Not here, you probably wouldn't, but anyway. I think trees really bring out, make it look a little more homey and environmentally inviting. So I think I'd like to do that. And the part about AstroTurf, I don't know about the new, but it gets pretty hot, so nobody's going to be able to sit on that and enjoy a concert or anything. They're going to have their chairs or something, because AstroTurf really gets hot. So I don't know if they've improved that since they first started out with it, but that's just another thing to think about. And let's see, is that everything I wanted? Sports courts, yeah. Oh, and I, about the separation of the ADA versus the regular playground, do you think that's what do you want to say, politically correct nowadays? Kind of like isolating the challenged versus the unchallenged?
Yeah, that makes sense what you're saying. I don't think it's specifically designed for ADA accessibility only. It would be similar to what you'll see in most playgrounds.
For like maybe younger kids in ADA and the other one to be more aggressive players?
Yeah, because that was one of the discussions too, was do we split up, you know, age groups, you know, but then I had suggested, well, what if you're a family that's got three kids that are different ages, they all can't play in the same, you know, area, so.
Right.
That's something that they're kicking around still. But okay. I see what you're saying. And I think any new construction has to comply with ADA, so I almost think that this was a little bit in error where they will be ADA compliant, any playground you put in, if that makes sense.
Right, or at least some portion of it would be.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, I think that's, and then, you know, I'd like to talk to you later about the fitness stuff.
Yes, we can talk about that at the end of this, at the end of our chairman's report.
Okay.
So, if we could go back to, question one, there it is. I have, I wouldn't say loggerheads, but sort of, with some of my colleagues here. Number one, I think is really good. I think having everything ADA and a smaller parking footprint. I like that. I think that if we go with more parking and AstroTurf and that kind of a feel, that will go against the natural feel that we were looking for to begin with. That's my two cents there. I do think that we would need those concrete walkways, however, and certainly ADA and the consolidated parking. On question two, I'm not as wild about the stage and plaza area as my colleagues seem to be, because I know that we do have some staging areas down at Tidelands, and maybe we could have that be more of the bands and the, you know, those kinds of things there, and keep the Coleman Park area a more natural area. I like the idea of the swings that Ms. Davis talked about, more modern, you know, swings. You wouldn't want to keep the same ones. They've been there a few days. But I think that wouldn't impact the natural environment. I think that the native plants are important, and if we would go with what I think Kirk was talking about there with the native flora of the region, buckwheat, you could have your trees, you could have a fast-growing native trees there that would provide shade. So that's kind of my two cents on the first two items. The amenities on number three, I support just about everything there, except, like I said, the stage area, I think, should either be truncated or not there at all. I think the idea of the otters that Bob said is true. I think that if we can't have both there, a big area that's bustling and then the more natural scape, I don't think it would work as well. On number four, any amenities that I would like included? I don't think so. I think the idea of that sports court, again, I like that we're getting rid of the basketball court that's not well kept and not very pretty. Something like a beach volleyball area or a badminton or something like that, that's kind of a or bocce ball, that was a good thing, kind of a low-tech sort of more quiet sports area than the more livelier ones that you would, again, keeping it kind of a low profile, in my opinion. Question five. Yeah, I wouldn't preserve anything that's there. I think that it's a good idea. Also, what Mr. Sedaris said about the sand, I think, unfortunately, that the sand is seen better days. It's more like powder there now, and gravel. Those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I could just jump in, and I think I might have misrepresented the stage concept by getting a little excited about reflecting back to my days in San Diego. The intention I think here is more like possible small wedding venue, or maybe one or two people on acoustic types of music, poetry reading, a place to kind of sit around and you could sit down and eat, there, or just, hang out. I wasn't, the vision wasn't like to, bring in big trucks with lights and have a rock and roll band, really. It was more of a more passive types of use. And all that can be managed as well through the recreation office, and we could determine what activities would be permitted and what couldn't, with clear cut policy. So I think I misled everybody down that path. So that's more the intention of that plaza and stage area, if that helps. Otherwise, I think I really appreciate you guys. All of your comments are fantastic, both supportive and then the ones that are, you know, new ideas and whatnot. I think it's awesome, and I'm real happy that I was able to bring this item to the commission to have this conversation. I'll put these comments together and send them to the Public Works Director, and that'll all kind of end up in the mix. I'm curious to see what the Public Works Advisory Board had to say last night. But I think, I thank you all for your comments and suggestions.
Hey, Kirk, I just want to echo what you said, because when I was in the vision, and I wasn't thinking rock concerts myself either, because this has a lot of cultural, historical, and art in this. Yes. And I was thinking, like, man, it'd be great just to see maybe those acoustical or maybe a small, like, an oompa band or theater.
Yes.
In the park, you know, there. And that's what I would like to see. And, you know, pull up theater troops in there, you know, and pull up on the kayaks and everything. That would be kind of cool. I wasn't envisioning rock bands and having big concerts either.
Right. Thank you.
Same. I'm chiming in too. I didn't envision that either.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have one suggestion then for that area. We should zone it more into, like, people can rent. It can be open all the time unless you rent it. Then you reserve the area and you pay a certain fee to reserve it.
That's
you
can have correct.
Like birthday parties there, family reunions, or just get-togethers. You know, everybody from L.A. come up here with their family versus in San Francisco, and they meet here and they have a family gathering. So yeah. I would go for it if it's set up that way. But, yeah, we don't need a stage for that. We could just have a designated area built out that they could reserve, like they do over in Laguna Lake over there. They have, you know, the overhang, the buildings on top, so you can go underneath and be some barbecue pits out there, but you can reserve them, and right. Nobody else can use them while that time frame.
Well, yeah. Bob, I would probably, you know, that's something you could also do where the sports court area is at. But what I like about the stage, and it's a matter of design with the stage, especially when you go to Europe and you have the parks, what is the focal point of the park? Is that stage or right there in the middle of the park that the whole community can use, whether it's, you know, having the oompa bands, readings, or just, you know, free speech type of things right there? I think it's kind of cool, and how it's designed just would really add to it.
Yeah. That was the intention, Dr. Bob, was to make it a reservable place for activities, as you had just discussed. And, you know, it's just a preliminary concept, so there's really no design to it per se. But, you know, you could call it a plaza, which isn't so, you know, it's not a stage, it's a plaza. But there is one here in this county down at in Pismo Beach at Dinosaur Caves Park. They have a similar concept, and it's used quite often, from what I understand. So that's where I think some of these ideas came from. You know, in looking at our neighboring communities and what they had in their parks as far as amenities are concerned. So I think we did really good here, and I thank you again.
I think that dinosaur park is pretty large, though. I mean, I've been there for a few events. They've had outdoor theaters there, you know.
Yeah.
Put up that big blow-up screen and show movies for kids, have kids park lot.
Yes.
But, you know, we would never be able to make that happen here. But, yeah,
if we had more room, that
would be a fantastic family night outing or something.
Right.
You never know until you try something new, though.
Yeah.
There's no place to sit. That's the problem. There's no space for people.
Well, we could apparently kayak in, though, as well. Sit on your kayak.
If you like water.
Yeah, if you look at the design, it's almost twice the size as that sport court. So whatever we put the size of that sport court at, that plaza area is about double. So, again, it's still in concept. And I'll keep you, your commission, up to date on anything that changes or anything that has been.
Okay.
So as an ongoing verbal report again, or non-verbal, if there's some other kind of information I need to put together.
Well, if you do have musicals there, you could make it acoustics.
Yes, sir.
No yeah. amps, all acoustic.
Yeah, I agree. Very good. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. A lot said there. Good, good.
Good stuff.
The proxy, 16% per capita, shall we have a motion to receive and file what we've just said?
Yes, we can do that. We'll receive it in the file and then my office will move forward with the recommendations to the Public Works Office.
Okay.
So you can go ahead and entertain a motion as you had suggested.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we send all inner, you know, file it and send it off to Public Works and get their input.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing no opposition? Let's receive it and send it on.
Will do.
Okay, our next order of business is staff report on the bocce ball, which may have a new home at the Coleman Park, maybe.
Hey. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to me. I'll try to be brief here. Bocce is back under consideration. It never left. It just went on a little COVID hiatus. We are taking a look at it again, and as was done with this, with the grant projects, this project is my office working with the Public Works Department again. With our new Public Works Director at the helm, he's taking another look at this and is trying, and he's got a new new engineer on board who's going to take this project on as the gentleman who worked on this the first go around was laid off and did not come back. He went on to other things. So what they're looking at is I want to make sure I get all my notes. Is first of all, Morbay and Bloom pulled out of the project, and therefore we're removing the greenhouse. So that's not an element any longer. In lieu of that, darn it, I had some other good notes I can't find right now. In lieu of that, we are doing a redraw, and there's additional space now that will allow for us to extend the length of the courts and or add additional space for storage or maybe an open pad where you can pop up a pop-up tent and for for tournaments or shade or whatever, but mostly there will be space to store the bocce equipment and the rakes and hoses and things that you need to keep the courts nice and tended to. We are still in touch with the volunteer groups that we had in place before, the El Moro Church out of Los Osos, as well as our Morbay seniors who are still on the hook for $6,000 in funding. But with this this new look at it, the first thing the new engineer said is, why is this thing so darn fancy? And it made me laugh because when we first brought this whole thing to the commission, we were talking about putting a couple of railroad ties down, a little decomposed granite, and calling it a day. Well, that was naive of me and I think all of us at the time. So, we did need to be, ADA compliant. But anyways, this guy says, why so fancy? So they're looking at some reduction in some of the concrete work. Instead of having a walking lane in between the two courts, they decided to put the two courts, up against one another, therefore sharing a concrete wall. So that's reducing the cost there to do another pour or pour another section. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new design and new plans coming from this new staff and really a new Public Works Department. That's, and again, we're looking and hoping to do some kind of work this spring. I think it was 2020 when we started this. We did a groundbreaking in February, and then COVID hit. So here we are 2 years later, hoping. hoping to do another, I don't know if we'll do another groundbreaking, but looking for something in springtime is our push. So happy to answer any questions or comments that you might have.
I have one. I was there, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we did all that landscaping, planted all those trees, made that mound out there and did all the flowers. And then it kind of went to pot, more or less. So is there any way that we can, when this is put in, we have some guarantee of some way that that won't happen this?
Yeah, so part of the discussion I had with the Morbay Seniors Incorporated was that they would adopt this area, which there's a number of adopt a something, they call it, here in the city now, where groups or agencies or volunteers will take on a park and do some maintenance to it. I think there was probably a dozen agreements 10 years ago, but I don't know how many we're up to now. That responsibility shifted to the Public Works Office to manage those groups or volunteers. So yes, Dr. Bob, that is something that the seniors were looking forward to doing, providing the maintenance of the court as well as the surrounding area.
Okay, what is this designated? Is it like a public park, a city park, or how is this registered as a piece of property?
It's a city-owned piece of property, and the bocce court bocce court is supposed to be referred to as temporary in nature, not non-permanent. You might recall 20-some-odd years ago, this property was purchased along with many of the adjacent properties with the intent of building a civic center. That's pretty far off. So an interim use is, the plan is to develop it It was developed, as you were just mentioning, as a pocket park. It was called the Shasta Pocket Park. And that's a common term used where you find small parks in middle of neighborhoods. So we call these pocket parks, and that's what this one was called. And it did, as you said, pretty well die out, I think, during a transition of new city manager and the shakeup of the Recreation Parks Office and the transition of maintenance, park maintenance, to Public Works Office. It just went fallow. So here we are back at the drawing board, and we could refer to this again as the Shasta Pocket Park with the bocce amenity.
Okay. Some reason I brought that up, I don't want to sound degrading to anybody, but the new law that just passed that we cannot kick anybody out of the park unless we have a house for them to live in. So that's my goal. How can we keep camping from taking place in the park?
Yeah, as you'll see right now, it's pretty vacant, and we don't have a problem with camping there at this time. So I don't foresee camping taking place on the bocce court or on a concrete pad. We removed the shrubs, which is a common place for folks to want to pitch a tent, behind a shrub. So I don't foresee that being an issue with this new development.
Okay. That was just one of my thoughts.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, maybe they can go play bocce ball during the day. Have something to do.
Yes.
All right.
Anything else, anybody? We're good. Back to you then, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carmichael. May I have a motion to receive and file staff report on bocce ball?
I'll make a motion to receive and file staff report on bocce ball.
I'll second.
Second, good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing no opposition, C3, staff report bocce ball is received and filed.
Very good.
And we'll move on to the aquatics activities. And it's back to you, Mr. Carmichael.
One more time. Sorry, you're probably tired of hearing my voice drone on, but I'll do my best here. And then we'll open it up for conversation. So this has been an ongoing report. discussion, and I pulled up the last staff report that I put together when we first saw this in May of 2021. And I did outline at that staff report, or in the staff report and at that meeting, the various opportunities that we do have here, aquatic related here in the city, starting with our junior lifeguard program, beach program, there's a junior guard boot camp, and there's a junior guard preseason pool program, and then our pool activities of lap swimming, aqua aerobics, swim lessons, master swimming, and we're trying to get diving, and I think we lost our diving coach. So that was a quick rundown of what's going on with aquatics. Something I neglected to mention back then when we first brought this up, this item, was that we did bring on a stand-up paddleboard instructor to provide additional aquatic opportunities, and we contracted with this person. We just about were ready to let her launch when I got my hand slapped by the Harbor Department and by the local brick-and-mortar stand-up paddleboard shops. So our concept was to let someone come down with the trailer and offer rentals and lessons, and the stand-up paddleboard shops, again, who are brick-and-mortar, complained to the city administration and to the Harbor Department that this wasn't fair because they pay for their rent of their space, and where this other individual did not. So I ended up immediately firing the person that I just hired. So just to let you know that we had that intent and to offer another aquatic opportunity. I know that I think Commissioner Davis, you were speaking last meeting regarding a year-round junior lifeguard program. And I could say at this time, we are looking at offering additional junior guard programs at our swimming pool. As far as a beach junior lifeguard program, I am desperately seeking a junior lifeguard coordinator to take on our summer program. And I'm already nervous, and we're 5 months out, but I'm not getting anything from our existing staff of over 20 certified beach lifeguards. I'm not getting an interest from any of those to step up to move to the coordinator position, which requires a little bit of office work, probably 25% office, 75% on the beach. So if anybody knows anybody out there certified as a beach lifeguard and willing to do a little office work and coordinate this program, I'd really appreciate sending them my way. Along those lines, and I'm not following direction from my supervisor 100%, but I was directed to not move forward with any new programming until this office becomes fully staffed and stable again post-COVID. Right now, we're undergoing mid-year budget adjustments, and in this mid-year budget adjustment, I am asking that our newly hired three-quarter-time recreation supervisor who manages sports be moved to a 100% full-time position. I'm asking for that because I'm taking on his responsibilities that he's not able to do at this time. One, because he's in a learning curve as a new guy coming into the system, and two, because he is three-quarter time, and three, because we're still dealing with COVID and dealing with the struggles of conducting a youth basketball program outdoors on outdoor courts. So I'm managing the swimming pool on his behalf at this time, I'm managing the aquatics coordinator who does handle the swimming pool. I am managing the junior lifeguard program on his behalf at this time, and I have other things that I need to work on. So that was the reasoning behind the city manager's decision to direct me not to add new programs. I say I didn't listen to him entirely because we are trying to launch or do a pool junior lifeguard program this spring, where normally we do a pool program like right at the start of summer. So I'm sneaking this one in. I hope he's not listening, or I hope he doesn't watch the tape. But we're giving it a shot. So with all of that, I will turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman, and the commission, and I'm happy to hear what you comments that you'd like to make or questions you might have.
I would just like to say, oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I have no questions, but I'm sure that Lisa okay. has a question or two.
I don't have questions. I just want to say, you know, I'm going to be here for a few more years, and if there's something that I can contribute or help with, that's what I'm here for. And thank you for asking or for looking into it. I mean, I'm of the mindset that you can't do something without trying. So, you know, we'll keep trying, and understandably, it's just different times right now. So I just wanted the idea to just be out there so we can think about it, so it could be on the back burner, and who knows what will happen. So thank you for putting in the effort and updating us all.
Hey, Kirk, if you can send me information about that junior lifeguard coordinator position, I'll move it up to my buddies with the United States Life Saving Association, and then they can try to get the word out.
Thank you, sir. That's fantastic.
Very good.
Well, I have a comment then. I thought Drew was on. I saw his lights on a little while ago.
Oh, just lit up.
Just breathing heavy? Anyway. I forgot what I was going to ask. Oh, the paddle board now. Isn't there a way you can get somebody in there with no financial advantage to Morro Bay at all? And that way, those guys should be happy because it's going to stimulate paddle boarding and won't take away any business. Should bring business.
I'm not sure I follow you.
Well, you said you had a paddle board person hired, but they didn't like it because it's going to take away the business.
Yeah, but what, they didn't think it was a fair competition because they had to have a brick-and-mortar shop.
Right.
Where this person but, just came in without anything. Without
but they're making their money off renting the boards. So if he's going to you have somebody there to teach them how to use them, they have to go to them to rent it. So to me, it's going to increase their business.
No, the person that was that we hired on had their own boards and was going to rent the boards and offer instruction. That was direct competition to the one shop, actually there's two shops that were in question. So they're doing the same thing without having to pay probably $3,000 of rent a month.
Well, then my other option would be, say, okay, there's three paddleboard companies in Morro Bay? Is that what there is?
You know, I'm not quite sure anymore because the one shop that made the biggest stink is gone now. So I know. Yeah.
So anyway, whatever's left, you could just have say, okay, you're going to be here for a week. You're going to be here for a week. You're going to be here for a week, and have them all come in and joint do it, and say there. But there's no promos. You just teach people how to do it, and that way, if they come to you, it's a bonus. But there's no pushing of your business.
Yeah, I'd be happy to entertain the conversation with a private business owner who would like to propose something like that. We're always open to receiving proposals for new recreation opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
And send them my way. I'd be happy to have a conversation.
Okay, and for the diving coach, they have to be a certified diving coach, or what do they have to be?
Yeah, I think, and I'd probably turn to Commissioner Espino on that, but I think that's real common. They're the certified. Certifications you can receive in diving, but Mike, do you have comments on that?
Yeah, there is you know, training with U.S. Diving and everything like that, and especially with safety training too, with because diving boards are a big safety hazard, and
right.
risk management is not the best to really have a program, to be honest with you. But you know, if you want to spur, you definitely need to have a good trained coach.
Okay, thanks everybody. May I have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make that motion to receive and file the report as given to us, the aquatics report.
Any seconds?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition. C4, aquatic events staff report is received and filed. Thank you very much. So next on the agenda item is future agenda items. Mr. Carmichael, are there future agenda items that we'd like to talk about?
Nothing that I have, but I would turn to your commission there, and we just need to, if someone does have one, I need the majority consensus there to agendize. So if any of you have something you'd like to add to next month or next month's agenda, or next meeting's agenda.
I would just like to have a meeting with you on that exercise thing, you know, just one-on-one, or we could go over with the
engineer guy?
Yeah, the engineers and all that, and go through all of it.
Yes, sir.
Tell them what my plan is, see what they think.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that, Bob, but I'm happy to sit down with you and share with you, you know, some of my thoughts along those lines, too.
Right, yeah. Okay, and sounds good.
Anytime, give me a shout, and we'll set up a time and have a chat.
Okay, any Monday or Tuesday?
Okay.
Actually, not Tuesday mornings, that's softball.
Yeah,
going on. So Monday between 3 and 4, and maybe Tuesday 1 and 2?
Okay.
I think you have to wear the short shorts and, like, the spandex tank tops, too, Bob, if you're talking about Jack LaLanne. Maybe the onesie, the wrestling onesie?
Yeah.
Maybe you guys can meet down there and do a mock workout just to see what the grounds look like, what kind of equipment you're going to need.
Yeah, that just... Go.
Oh, you need to chair.
And then we can take videos and turn it, put it on YouTube.
Okay.
Love it.
We want to attract people to the park, not distract. Come on, you guys.
Not horrify them.
Yeah.
All righty. So it's time to adjourn, I guess, huh?
That's it.
Yeah. But a big thank you again to Mike Espino and
Mike
Swain.
Yeah, Mike, it was great working with you. We appreciate your time you put in for us.
Thank you both.
Thanks.
Very good. Thanks, you all. We'll see you in a couple of months. Dr. Bob, I'll see you when you give me a shout, and we'll get something scheduled.
Okay, stay well, everybody.
Okay, thanks. You too. Goodbye.
Bye.
There we go. Now let's see.
Hey, we're still hanging in, or we're the only two left.
Well, good. We're not breaking any laws. Why don't you play the baseball?